Join us WrestleMania weekend for the Internet Darlings live event featuring your favorite wrestling YouTubers. The link is in the description. Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw Dirt Sheet, the only place you need to be going for your pro wrestling news, because it's what we do here on the Dirt Sheet. We talk pro wrestling news, shit that's happened throughout the week, and then we put it here on the show. Right, Larson?
Correct.
That is correct. We're available here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. We're also available wherever audio podcasts can be found, including soundcloud.com/Steven Larson, iTunes, where if you hit that subscribe download button, it jacks us up into the top 150 of the sports and rec category, which I really appreciate.
Yeah, where are we at now? Current status.
I don't know. God, I think last night we were like 113 or so.
Oh.
We were doing, which is good, which is still good.
Yeah, we're also on SoundCloud. We're on Podbean. Did you mention all those yet?
Stitcher.
Stitcher Radio, iHeartRadio, Google Play, hopefully soon Spotify. We're also on Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson.
Yes.
Plenty of contribution tiers.
99, baby.
Oh, cool. With awesome rewards attached to each tier.
We're just above Cheap Heat with Pete Rosenberg. Oh. So if they think that guy pops ratings on the pre-show of pay-per-views, imagine what happens when you get these two idiots. We're at number 99. We're in the top 99, Larson.
Cool.
He's only in the lower 100.
Oh.
Anyways, no, I like Pete. I think he's...
Yeah, yeah.
I don't fucking know him. I'm not saying his first name like I'm on first names basis with him.
Yes.
But I like when they bring in that dude.
You appreciate his work.
Yeah, no. I mean, I don't listen to his shit, but I like him on the pre-show.
Yeah.
He's good. He brings fans' perspective.
He's good on the radio.
I have not heard him on the radio.
Yeah, he's guested on several ESPN radio shows in the past and always done really good work.
I liked him. I like when they did that one. I was hoping they'd do more of the bring it to the table stuff.
I saw something about a new one coming.
Yeah, I know, but I don't think he's on it.
Oh.
From what I understood, like, I forgot what it was, but yeah, it was like, yeah, they're going to do this on bring it to the table, but I didn't get the feeling that they're maybe bringing back the same format. I don't know. Maybe he is on it. I don't know. Anyways, yeah, we're on all that. We're on all those places. Also at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. We have a brand new shirt, Larson. From W. Steve W. Lore. Are you going to wear an R.A.P. Ulysses shirt? You know, as you know, your promotion, Fun Wrestling, is part of the Fuck Wrestling family.
Well, it's the evolution of Friendo Unified Championship Wrestling.
No, Fuck Wrestling is the umbrella company, and then Fun Wrestling is part of Fuck Wrestling.
No.
That's how it works.
No, it's not.
That's
Fun Wrestling is the evolution. Look back at the genesis of Fun Wrestling, and you will understand that there was Friendo Unified Championship Wrestling, Top Not Super Best,
no,
beat Mecha Santa, evolved Friendo Unified Championship Wrestling into Fun Wrestling.
No.
That's how it worked.
W. Steve. So in your opinion, it's more like, you know, at some point, like it's like Neanderthal Man and Human. They sort of branched off into separate evolutionary branches.
I guess so.
No, Fuck Wrestling's up here, and then there's Fun, and there's WCW. That's how it goes.
It's not how it works.
Okay. So anyways.
Regardless, did you have a point to that question?
Are you going
to
wear the Ulysses shirt? You know Ulysses? He's your friend?
I do.
Aren't you sad that somebody died in the Fuck Wrestling community?
Well, I mean,
he was murdered in my ring.
Yeah, in a video game.
Aren't you sad about that?
Well, I think the video speaks for itself, how I felt about it.
Yeah, but are you going to wear the shirt, though?
Maybe.
Okay, that's a yes. Confirmed. Anyways, talking about confirmed news.
Yes.
Daniel Bryan is coming back this WrestleMania to fight The Miz, correct?
No.
Oh, okay, no. Okay, so this is the story. Daniel Bryan.
He was on Talking Smack following.
He's throwing more fuel to the, is he coming back?
Yeah.
Or isn't he
fired?
Well,
it seems pretty obvious that he didn't want to retire in the first place.
Okay.
We'll get to that in a second.
So on Talking Smack. Talking Smack was great this week because we got that picture of Michael P.S. Hayes with his Grimace outfit on. Anyways, but during a segment with The Miz and Maurice, The Miz once again brought up that Bryan can't wrestle due to head trauma. He was saying, I could have been an actor. And Daniel Bryan and Maurice was like, why are we not in movies?
And Daniel Bryan says, I don't want to be in movies.
She says, you're not in movies like my husband to me.
Yeah, the whole segment, Maurice was having a really hard time not laughing.
Yeah.
It was pretty great.
It was great.
But anyways, Miz once again brought up the fact that Daniel Bryan isn't allowed to wrestle in WWE.
He said, you can't wrestle. Or no, he said Daniel Bryan responded, can't. Or they won't let me. We'll see in a year and a half and see what happens. This dude is going to fucking wrestle again, man. He is going to wrestle.
So apparently his contract is up in a year and a half. So
in a year and a half.
What month are we in? March?
Yeah.
So September of next year?
Or he could have been doing generalities and might be in a January to December
fall of next year.
Yeah, fall of next year. And according to Wrestling Observer, his last testing wasn't favorable. At the same time, he was rushed into that retirement speech by Vince McMahon.
Which we kind of got that was the gist we
you
got
get that
from
Total
Bellas.
You totally get that.
It was literally a call from, you know, one of the talent executives saying, hey, you have to come to Raw in Seattle and announce your retirement.
This is interesting, too. It says he has already mentally developed a new ring style that he believes will allow him to have interesting matches with lower risk. Do you think that's the animalistic ring style? Probably is, huh?
It's the first thing I thought of, too.
Yeah, I think because you're low and you're doing this shit.
I'm wondering, though, you know, I'm sure he can develop lots a style that puts himself in less risk in terms of his offensive moves, but he still has to take bumps.
Yeah. The bottom line is when you do this on your back, you have the risk of hitting your head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this new style will help that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's my worry. It's not so much how he wrestles. Although I guess a long time ago, back when he was still initially dealing with the concussion issues, I think I remember reading somewhere that a couple of his moves, namely the missile drop kick off the top rope, the one you land on your back, that one, and I think the diving headbutt are really rough on the head and neck area.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe it was back when he was just having neck troubles.
Yeah.
And even back then, you know, I remember reading stuff that, you know, hey, cut that out.
Yeah.
Cut that out of your arsenal. Yeah. It'll help you.
He just needs to, if he starts wrestling like a hoss, like really slow, lumbering about.
Yeah.
Then he can wrestle again.
Yeah.
Because you think about, you know, I wonder how many concussions, like, one of them big, big hosses, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I know what you mean.
Like, how many concussions really has the Great Khali had? He's not a hoss. He's just really tall and lumbers a lot.
Yeah.
Like, when he falls, it's really slow.
Yeah.
It's probably much less risk if you're the Great Khali than if you're Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Getting a concussion. I don't know.
I don't know either.
But he says on his bucket list, one of his goals has been to work.
This is according to Wrestling Observer again.
Yeah. Has been to work in CMLL, the lucha promotion down there in Mexico, and build a program to do a hair versus mask match.
Hair versus hair.
According to your notes, it's hair versus mask. But I read hair versus hair as well. Hair versus hair match on an anniversary show. So I don't know. Does he have somebody a head of hair specifically in mind for that?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. So yeah, I the way he talks, and on top of that, like Wrestling Observer noted that he did an ESPN bit with Coachman back in September, and he was saying that, you know, he was cleared by a myriad of concussion specialists,
yes,
of doctors, but there was this one test that, you know, didn't. But then we saw that shit on Total Bellas. We don't know how much of that's manufactured. You know, editing can do the trick. So I would say that we don't, like, Daniel Bryan probably knows best in terms of what he's been told by doctors.
Yeah, and what kind of risk he's willing to assume in order to potentially wrestle more.
Right, exactly. So,
and
I mean,
apparently it seems like WWE doesn't want to accept that risk, whether he wants to or not, because I guess to a certain extent they could still be liable for any potential issues arising from him being concussed further, especially with that concussion lawsuit still looming over the company.
Yeah. No, I wonder, okay, so with concussions, there's never been a thing where somebody has, I'll put it this way. If he decides he wants to come back and work a very light schedule, I'm talking 3 matches a year, because he's still a huge name.
Yes.
Massive name.
Yes.
That's a lot different than wrestling 250 times.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
A year.
Yeah.
As it pertains to concussions, and I don't know because I'm not a specialist, but we've been engaged in entertainment that has to do with concussions, football and wrestling.
Yeah.
The concussion worry is a long-term thing. Well, it's not like if he hits his head, he's going to die, right?
No, I don't think so. I think there's a couple things. From my understanding, I could be completely wrong.
No, go ahead.
The more concussions you have, the more likely it makes that you will have, it makes you more susceptible to them.
Right.
That's my understanding. And also, yes, it's a long-term thing, and I should have really done more research about this before we started. In one sense, concussions are an issue, but I don't know if there's that. But then there's also the continuous head trauma that's not necessarily associated with concussions. So you might not get a concussion, but just repeated, sort of like in football, if you're on the offensive or defensive line, every snap you're hitting helmets together. And while you're not getting cussed, obviously every time, that repeated head-to-head contact, I think, is another one of the issues that may be involved in the whole CTE thing. It's not necessarily just concussions. It's repeated even minor head trauma.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I said about I think Pee Wee football at one point. It was like it's the number of small hits you take. It's not the big ones you take.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It sounds like, and he said, you know, before that he feels like 100%.
Yeah, can wrestle he feels great. Day. Yeah.
So I don't know. I would think, you know, like I would think at the end of the day he'll probably, you know, when a year and a half is up, he's probably going to do a lot of examining.
Maybe he'll do something like Cody did when he left WWE, is make a list of the things that he wants to do before he feels like he can hang him up.
Yeah, right.
Like before he can retire on his own terms.
Right.
You know, go to CMML, headline Tokyo Dome, you know, five or six things.
Yeah.
And then take a couple of years and try to get as many of those things done.
Yeah.
And then at that point, if he feels like he's accomplished everything he wants to do, walk away.
Yeah.
Go raise your family.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it sounds like he's got his eye on that particular prize.
Yes.
You know? All right, moving on. Your headline here says, no broken WrestleMania?
Who knows?
Well, Roman Reigns is fighting The Undertaker. Sounds pretty broken to me. We're not talking about that broken. Talking about the Hardys.
Yeah, so they made their Ring of Honor debut about a month earlier than they were supposed to. They showed up at the Manhattan Mayhem show this past Saturday. Made a surprise appearance after the Young Bucks defended their titles against, I don't remember, somebody.
Yeah, I forget.
They defend the titles.
Leo Rush and Jay White.
That's right.
Yeah.
Sorry. Lights went out. Lights came back on. Hardys were there.
Yeah.
They challenged the Young Bucks to a match. Won the match. They're the new Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions. Yes.
The Honorable Ring Champions.
Yes. And so after the match, Matt Hardy dropped a promo saying they'd signed with Ring of Honor, essentially.
Right.
But there's a lot of question as to the length of that contract.
Nobody knows the length of their contract. And they have not. And so Wrestling Observer also stated that it was sort of telling that when they were at, I don't know where they're in New York. It wasn't Hammerstein. I forget. But
oh, for the Ring of Honor show?
Yeah, I guess so.
I think it was.
Yeah, but they mentioned specifically that they were not going to be back for the May 12th show.
Or they didn't mention that they were going to be at the May 12th show.
Wait, they what?
They didn't mention that they were going to be there.
Right, exactly. Yeah. They didn't say they weren't going to be there. They
didn't say anything about it,
which is pretty telling because that would be the next time that particular crowd would be able to see them live.
As far as we know, they're advertised for the anniversary show this weekend. They'll be taking on the Young Bucks and Roppongi Vice in a street fight.
Right.
And then they have their match against the Young Bucks at Supercard of Honor the day before WrestleMania in Lakeland, Florida, which is about an hour and a half west of Orlando.
Yeah, so plenty of time to teleport.
Yes, and they have an autograph signing the day of WrestleMania about 2 miles away from the venue.
Right, exactly.
This is what we know.
Yeah, that's what we know. We also know that they've been telling indie promoters that they cannot be expected to do anything after April.
Yes.
And the dates that they currently have lined up are even in question. So all that sounds like the WWE.
Potentially.
There was a TMZ video where a TMZ guy was asking Matt Hardy, broken Matt Hardy, who is completely in character.
Oh, yes.
Because he always is.
Yes.
Whenever the cameras are rolling, at least.
And, or he's on Twitter.
And they were asking him, you know, have you talked to anybody in WWE? And
he said, yeah, he's talked to,
He says he's made contact with all the major promotions across the world.
Yeah.
That would obviously include the WWE.
As well as New Japan.
As well as New Japan.
He mentioned promotions in Mexico, not by name.
Right.
So.
And then he gave like a specific shout out to Vince McMahon. And said, if you try, I forget what he said.
Try to
interfere. I think he said, if you try to interfere somehow with us, you will be deleted.
He says, yeah, he threatened deletion.
He said,
that's pretty much what it was. He threatened to delete.
He threatened deletion, yeah.
Vince McMahon, the most powerful man in the wrestling industry.
Exactly. He's going to be deleted. That's got to be it. That has to be such a blast. That has to be such a fun thing for Matt Hardy.
I know.
He seems like he's having such a blast. Also from the Wrestling Observer, another beefy newsletter this week. It said one reason why, or one thing that WWE has been known to do, another bit of evidence or a bit of another clue here to this puzzle. So WWE, they don't like when talent that they've signed or are going to sign, they don't like when they announce it. And so the Wrestling Observer has been told that Mike Bennett and Maria Kanellis Bennett, who left TNA after their contracts expired just recently, they have a destination locked down, but they want to keep their destination quiet. Given the limited options, the destination would either be Ring of Honor / New Japan or both, which is what they did before TNA.
Yes.
Or WWE.
NXT, probably.
Yeah, I would think NXT first, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because Maria Kanellis has been in WWE before.
Yes.
So, yeah, kind of interesting. That makes me wonder if her connection would bump him straight up to main. I would doubt it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't know.
I think it would have to be NXT.
I would think so, too.
I don't think he's quite the level of being, you know, like AJ was to wrestling fans, a household name. We didn't watch TNA, but we knew who AJ Styles was. At least mm-hmm. we knew his name.
Yeah.
So I would think it would have to be NXT. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, Pro Wrestling Sheet had an exclusive story this week about Broken Matt Hardy trademarking or filing a trademark, starting that process to trademark his name.
Mm-hmm.
So there was some issue last week, which we talked about who owned the Broken Matt Hardy intellectual property, whether mm-hmm. it was Matt Hardy or Impact Wrestling, formerly known as TNA.
Yeah.
And if he's taking these steps and Impact isn't taking any necessary legal steps on their own, it seems to me that Matt Hardy might have been correct, at least he's taking the steps to force their hand.
That's the thing, because now they have, I think, if I'm not mistaken, when we did some research on the Ryback trademark thing, when he did it, the WWE had 30 days to respond. And so if all things are equal, which I don't know, it might be in a state by state or
yeah, I don't know.
City by city. I have no idea.
No, I mean, this is a U.S. trademark. So
oh, it's U.S. trademark. So it's federal. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, I would think they have 30 days to lawyer up and file,
challenge filing.
It. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So, but he seems, you know, he's testing it anyways.
Yeah.
He wants to lock that down. So good
which
for
is
him.
Good. That's good business.
Yeah, absolutely. Good for him.
And so if they sign with WWE, the WWE will have to license the Broken Universe mm-hmm. from Matt Hardy rather than, you know, essentially Matt Hardy signing it away if they were to sign with the WWE.
I want the Hardys to have their own Broken TV show on the network.
That'd be cool.
All Broken.
Broken Wrestling.
Yeah. Too bad Jeremy Borash is staying with formerly known as TNA. The Owl Wrestling promotion. Anthem, what did...
Anthem Owl Men is what Anthem Broken Matt Hardy calls TNA.
Yeah.
Because they used to have an owl in their logo.
Yeah. So kind of a slow news week.
It is, but, you know, there's a lot of excitement.
Oh, we have an update. We have an update on Hanma as well.
There's
A little bit of an update on Hanma. A couple things that I didn't know about him. That he introduced, according to Wrestling Observer Newsletter anyways... He introduced glass tubing to the deathmatch.
You mean fluorescent tubes?
Fluorescent tubes to death matches. That's terrifying.
Yes.
Anyways, looks like he can. He's not going to be paralyzed.
No. We talked about this a bit in one of the other episodes this week about the injury he suffered, which mm-hmm. is swelling in his spinal cord between the third and fourth cervical vertebrae.
Right.
Which at the time of the injury rendered him somewhat. I don't know if it was completely paralyzed or just somewhat, but. By all indications, he's out of the ICU, I believe,
mm-hmm.
and he's got movement in his extremities.
Yeah.
Whether he'll wrestle again, who knows?
Yeah, that's still up in the air. There's also the speculation that it was sort of, this wasn't necessarily, although it's funny because even Wrestling Observer, he says, you know, I'm getting stories from both sides saying that it was a botched move and others saying it wasn't, it was just he landed wrong. But that the injury might have more to do with long-term wear and tear as opposed to a single impact going wrong.
Yeah,
exactly. So good to know. I mean, look, all I care about is that dude's not paralyzed.
Yep.
I mean, hopefully professionally he'll have other options in front of him if he cannot wrestle anymore. But yeah. Oof, boy.
Well-being first and foremost.
Well-being first and foremost. Exactly.
So we got the New Japan Cup starting this weekend, Steve.
Yeah.
First round matches
are... about that.
We can do a video about
it. To do one. I fucking totally forgot the 45th anniversary show.
I didn't. I just didn't think we'd have time to do it.
Yeah.
Because it was a day after Fastlane.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a busy week.
Yeah.
Plus, I was sick.
I totally forgot about it.
So I didn't forget. I just didn't think we had time to do it. Knowing that this was coming up right away, this seemed like a larger event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
So we can aim to do a video, but now...
I hear that main event was for the Okada versus Ibushi.
Oh, yeah, Ibushi, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Sorry, Tiger Mask W.
So with the New Japan tournament,
yeah.
New Japan Cup tournament starting this weekend,
yeah.
We saw a couple friendos tweet at us about whether we were going to do some predictions.
Yeah, people gave me shit, too, for laughing off Ishii
yeah.
against Omega in the first round. I was like, oh, they gave Omega a buy, and he was like, he's put on 5-star matches before. But also, I've heard that now. I've read a little bit about the New Japan Cup. Apparently, upsets happen left and right in the first round.
Yeah,
so it's entirely possible. So we're gonna do predictions for the New Japan Cup first round.
You want to do the whole show, whole bracket?
First round. Oh, is this the second?
No. That's the whole first round bracket. There's a gap there because that's the two opposite sides of the bracket.
Gotcha. Okay, sounds good.
So do you want to write down our picks?
We'll just do the first round.
Okay. I mean, I think Kenny Omega is going to win it, but
let's see.
I could be wrong.
First round.
First match, was it Tanahashi against Evil?
Evil wins.
Tanahashi wins.
Steve, Evil.
Tanahashi.
Larson. Is this for the shirt?
Sure.
Fuck. All right. So, let's see here. Yuji Nagata versus Tongaroa.
I'm going to say Tonga.
You say Tonga. I'm going to say Tonga as well. Next up, the unbreakable George Costanza. I mean, the unbreakable Michael Elgin versus Bad Luck Fale, a couple of big boys.
I'm going to go with Elgin.
Elgin. Yeah, I'm going to go with Elgin too. Steve Larson. Yano versus Tama Tonga. I'm going Yano. Who are you going with? Yano's a winner these days, man.
I know.
He's going to win with a low blow.
I'm going to go Tama Tonga.
Tonga. All right. Moving on. Other side of the bracket. Ooh,
this is
going to be
tough.
A
this
good
is a, fucking
gonna
be a
match.
Great
this
match.
This is going to be the best match.
And this is going to be a tough match to call.
Shibata versus Suzuki.
Wow. That's a tough draw for both for the first round.
Is there really an upset here? I legitimately, legacy-wise, I can't really tell who's the underdog here.
I'm going Suzuki.
I'll go Shibata.
I'm trying to think because Zack Sabre Jr. just joined Suzuki-gun at the anniversary show, from what I understand. So I don't know if that'll play a factor into this match.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Juice Robinson versus the Tokyo Pimp. Oh, man, Juice Robinson.
Yeah, he's winning. He's winning that match.
Yeah. Well, you're saying Omega.
Yeah.
Ishii versus Omega. I got to stand. But no, you know what? I'll go with the people criticizing me. I'm going to say, no, Omega's going to win. Omega wins.
It'll be a really good match, though.
Yeah, it'll be a good match. They can put on a good match. People, you don't know anything about him. You're right, I don't. I'm freely open. I am totally open about the fact that I don't know shit about New Japan. Totally fine with that, people. Criticize me all you want. I don't care. And then finally, Yoshihashi versus Sanada.
Sanada.
I'm going to say Yoshihashi.
Okay. Here, let's just pick the whole thing. We can go back after this after the first round and maybe adjust.
Okay, I gotta think who do I think is gonna win the entire thing.
I think the final is gonna be Tanahashi versus Kenny Omega.
Really?
Yeah, I know that means zero. At least there's no upset leading to the finals. At least.
All right, so I would have to think that it's either gonna be. I'm gonna say it's gonna be Evil versus Omega. Which means I think Evil's going to go over Tongaloa and Michael. I'm saying Elgin's going to take on Yano.
Could happen.
I think it's going to happen.
So, okay. Go.
And then Elgin versus Evil, I think it'd be a good match.
Elgin versus Tanahashi would be a good match, too.
No, I agree. I'm just saying I'd rather see Elgin versus Evil, I think. Tanahashi's hella old.
He's still capable of putting on really good matches.
Whenever I think of Tanahashi, I just think Cena. So I'm like, I don't really want to see Cena. let's see here on the other side of things, man.
So the
can
second
you imagine
round.
A semifinal Omega versus Shibata,
or even Omega versus Suzuki.
Suzuki, yeah. Man, I really want to see Omega versus Shibata. I think it'd be great.
I really want to see Omega versus Suzuki too.
All right, so what are we betting on? Just like the finals? Or like the semifinals?
What do you mean?
All right, what are you talking about?
No, we're going to pick the entire tournament.
But yeah, we just did.
No, but we have to do the second half of the bracket.
Oh, God. It's not written down here.
I know. You picked the first. You picked the first half. I picked the first half.
Yeah.
Right. But we haven't picked the second half yet. So okay. Suzuki versus Omega, I say Omega wins. And you have Shibata versus Omega. Who's going to win that match?
Shibata versus Omega.
Yeah. So the second.
I don't know if I like that or not, though.
Oh, wait, no, sorry. It'll be Suzuki versus, or Shibata Suzuki winner versus Juice.
Yeah, versus Juice Robinson.
So
Shibata versus Juice Robinson? Ooh, that'd be good. I think Juice is going to go over.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Juice is going to go.
Yeah.
So it's going to be Juice versus Omega in the finals?
Yeah. I think so. Or in the semifinal, sorry.
In the semifinal, right.
On that side of the bracket.
On that side, yeah. Okay. It's good.
No, I'm picking Suzuki to beat. Robinson.
Suzuki's going to beat Robinson?
Yeah, Robinson will have a really good showing, but he'll lose.
Yeah, they're going to push Juice Robinson. I think Juice Robinson might win the whole thing. We got questions. Let's answer some questions. I don't fucking know what I'm talking
about.
This can't be. This can't be for this shirt. We don't know what we're talking about.
Didn't stop us from for the UK tournament.
I know. It was bunk. It interrupted my streak.
How about this? It's another one-day affair. If you lose, just one day with a shirt.
Okay,
not a
cool.
whole week.
Well, what am I losing? I mean, what am I saying? What's the thing?
It's most points. It's how many you get right for the entire tournament, not just the finals.
Okay, cool. So we're good here?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I'll write down everything later.
Yeah, write down
when I can
later.
See.
Yeah, you can figure it out. You know what I want.
You want Omega to win, right?
Omega wins.
And then he goes on to Dominion and gets the belt.
Is this for a title shot?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Any title you want.
Yeah, Omega totally wins. Unless Juice wins and he goes after the never open weight.
It's a possibility.
Definite possibility. How else are they going to get? Is there a different way? Is there anything else coming up that gets a title shot?
There's the junior heavyweight tournament.
No. I mean,
then there's the
G1. To get Omega with the title in June.
No, not that I'm aware of.
Okay, then this is going to be it.
As far as I know, the next tournament for a title shot is the G1.
Okay.
And I don't think Kenny's going to win that because he already did it last year.
Questions.
Yeah, it sounds like a pain in the ass, that tournament. Not like it's an annoyance. It's just grueling.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That's what, a whole month pretty much straight of wrestling?
Yeah.
Sounds like a grueling, grueling tournament.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Butch Bacon's grease catcher, Jerome Murray. Do you think WWE could be successful with casual, mainly at big four pay-per-views without those part-time guys and huge matches in the future?
They were during the Attitude Era because they were writing decent stories.
Yeah. Yes, I think they definitely could.
They just need to invest in their future.
It just, like, my thing is this. I'm totally fine with, like, part-timers coming in. I think they can serve a role. But, man, they're, like, the spot. They're in the fucking spotlight.
I know. Look at the poster for WrestleMania.
I know. It's too much.
It is way too much.
Way too much. AJ Styles is chilling back there in the
relegated to the back along with Kevin Owens.
To the background? My goodness gracious.
It's not cool. But, yeah, they can. They totally can. They just need to take the time to invest in decent storylines and build those matches up so they seem important.
Like when you have a segment with Stone Cold, The Rock, and Hogan, like in the middle of the ring joking around, that's how I want to see part-timers.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Have, yeah, like with the year The Rock hosted WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's fine.
Totally cool.
Totally.
An occasional match, totally cool.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, putting major titles on part-timers.
Guys who can't even wrestle anymore. Like Goldberg, it's obvious he can't even wrestle anymore. It's like if you're so old that you have to, like...
How do you think that match is going to finish, the Lesnar-Goldberg one?
I don't know, Lesnar smiling and purple.
I mean, how long do you think Lesnar is going to be a squash in Lesnar's favor?
Oh, man. I don't know if Goldberg is going to be... I don't know if contractually he's putting in there that he can take licks like that, dude.
I know.
Do you think it's going to be... It's got to be less brutal than what Randy Orton took.
Oh, yeah.
You would think so, right?
Yes.
Goldberg's old. He's going to die out there.
But you would think that Lesnar would have to come up with some strategy that was different than what he did the first time.
Yeah, you would think so.
Because last time he just charged right at him.
Yeah.
So do you think maybe that Lesnar will say, okay, since brute force didn't work, I'm going to rely on my mat wrestling abilities?
How are they going to get around rematch?
I don't know. Unless the night after on Raw, Goldberg comes out and says, okay, I had my run.
I think my best shot. That's probably how they can do it. Yeah, I think that's probably how they can do it. They're not going to have him, like, be murdered and, like, you know. They're not going to pull a Ulysses, are they?
No.
We got word that Goldberg is dead.
No.
No, I don't think so.
Don't think they'll do that.
Detergent X founder, Obi-Wan Kenobi. I'm here to clean up this Patreon and rid the world of those Empire filth hooligans. Has there ever been a faction that you've wanted to just go away, albeit not as much as Empire of Filth? Wow.
Wow.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Someone's trying to start a program.
Starting a feud with the Empire of Filth. Empire of Filth. They're disgusting individuals, though.
What's a faction that you want to just go away or wanted to just go away?
I know it exists.
Oh, yeah. Right to censor.
You always say them. To me, NWO Hollywood, when it was like the B-teamers, even back then, I was like, man, this is pure filler. There's no reason for these people to exist as a faction. So I would say them. Can't really think of, I mean, there are factions that just didn't fucking matter. So yeah. I didn't really care, like the Union. I didn't really care about the Union. Nobody cared about the Union.
Yeah.
But it's not like I was like, man, I wish they'd go away.
Yeah, no, I can't really think of any factions either that I wish would just go away.
Yeah, me neither. Fat bastard world champion Yoko Bundy. First time asking a question. So wait, this fat bastard world champion, that's not Alex Foster.
Guess not.
Wow. Is this a situation where like the title was vacated and then like another fat bastard came along to claim the title? Now they're going to have to fight to figure out who the fattest bastard is?
Could be.
Maybe. Do you think Roman Reigns would be one of the worst opponents Undertaker would have faced at WrestleMania? Is this going to be worse than Giant Gonzalez?
No, that was the worst.
Is this going to be worse than...
He was in a handicap match against Albert and...
Test.
Was it Test?
Oh, what about Nathan Jones?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
No, nothing will be worse than Undertaker, Giant Gonzalez.
This might be bad, though.
It's not going to be good, but it won't be worse than that match.
Here's the thing, though. We have no... Undertaker can't really move.
I understand
he
that.
He just had hip surgery. Yeah, what's he going to do? And Roman Reigns does not know... Hey, Roman Reigns could not wrestle a broom. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He wouldn't know what to do with it. He'd be like...
No, I'm sure he would know how to wrestle a broom somewhat. He would spear it. Superman punch. Spear.
Yeah, it goes over. Yeah.
So he knows what to do.
This might be a really bad match.
It's not going to be good. And it'll probably be 12 to 15 minutes.
Oh, God. You think it's going to be 15 minutes?
Potentially. A lot of rest holds.
That's horrible. You mean 15 minutes after entrances?
Yeah. Well, 12 minutes after
Roman entrances. Roman never does anything cool to his WrestleMania entrances. What did he do last year?
Last year, he cocked his fist and
oh, that was kind of cool.
Punched on the ground. There was like an effect on the ramp.
Yeah, they should incorporate that into all of his entrances.
Yeah.
I'd get over with me. I'd be happy with that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That would be cool.
What if he did that? Like, cameras up here, he did that, and then like the ground breaks, but then it reveals his giant face. That would be so cool.
That would be cool.
And he's smiling. like you know, like he just got some cotton
or
candy.
How about this? It's the gif of him doing this.
And then cutting to McMahon going,
yeah. That's what's revealed.
Every time it's something different.
Yeah.
Every time it's a different Roman Reigns meme.
Yes.
Yeah, like the WrestleMania poster with all Roman on it.
Yeah, or the gif where he does that in the ring at WrestleMania 31, and then it's just the booze.
That's right.
All the Roman Reigns memes.
That's right. That'd be good. Picture of like him from NXT when he had like the Samoan garb on. Matthew Borgen. How great would it be to see Baron and Braun in an interpromotional match to crown the WWE's first ever Big Hoss champion?
I don't think Baron Corbin is a Hoss right
Baron's
now.
Baron's not a Hoss.
He's not a Hoss.
No, he's a monster. He's not a Hoss.
Yeah.
Baron's
not a Hoss.
Baron's definitely. Do you think Braun's not a Hoss?
He's borderline.
He's borderline, but he needs more of a boiler.
Yeah, he does.
He's got way too much. Hosses don't have muscles, man. That dude is
muscle. Hosses do have muscles,
no.
But they're
Big Damo has no muscles.
Yeah, he does.
No.
Hosses have muscle. They're just under.
No, man.
Some additional girth.
No way.
Yeah. You trying to tell me Stan Hansen didn't have muscle? He was just naturally a thick guy. Stan Hansen had muscle.
What's a good year for Stan Hansen? 1983?
Yeah, sure. You tell me Vader didn't have muscle? Vader was super strong, man.
Did I spell his fucking name wrong?
It's E-N.
Yeah, I know. It was what I originally put.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
Man, who shot? Is that Terry Gordy? That was Terry Funk.
God, who's that?
I can't see, but I see a lot of blood.
Can you fucking tell who that is? What? Why are there no good pictures? Okay, maybe I'll just not put 1983.
Yes, put Stan Hansen.
I just don't want one of 2017.
Put Prime Haas Stan Hansen.
Look at that.
I can't see.
There's no muscle there.
He has muscle.
No, look, I'm sure. Give me a break. Come on, look closely at this. Give me a break. There's no muscle there.
He's not cut, but he's got muscle.
You can't tell there's muscle. I know there's actual muscle underneath. These Haases are strong. I get that. But they look like they have fat arms.
Okay, that's what I just said. I said they have muscle, but it's
Braun looks
under
like he's
girth.
Braun is fucking, he's got
I know.
Muscle coming out.
Yeah, he does. But he's also just really large. That's why I said he's borderline.
Yeah, I don't even
he could,
borderline.
If he just let himself go for a couple months, he would be a Haas.
Baron's definitely not a Haas.
No.
He's nowhere close to being a Haas.
No.
So no, the question is not great. Not if they're crowning the first Haas champion.
Let's set up a match for the first Haas champion.
Well, Damo, he's fucking. Are you getting Damo's like the most Haas dude right now?
Yeah, current roster probably Prime Haas. I don't know, man. Heavy Machinery.
Oh, how do they not come out on top?
Wow, gotta have a three-way dance.
You have a triple threat match.
That should be the next NXT belt, not like their TV title.
Yeah,
Haas title.
High voltage.
What about
Chris Hero?
Yeah, I was about to say.
Yeah, Chris Hero versus Djokovic.
Yeah,
versus who did I just say? Oh, Damo
versus Tucker Knight.
Tucker, yeah, there you go. Well, you can't
fatal four-way for the
both,
Haas title.
You can't have both high voltage guys.
No, that's a good story.
Yeah, maybe. Gary List of Garrico Sponseller. Hey, friendos, what are some of the surprise women you'd like to see in the SmackDown Women's title match? I know it's out of the question, but I'd love to see Paige show up with a jump to SmackDown.
Asuka.
Yeah, Asuka. I could totally see that happening. You think Asuka's going to pick up that? Is that going to be at?
That's at WrestleMania.
That's at Mania, right?
Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
I hope they really bring out some like.
I know, some real surprises.
Some real surprises. Asuka shows up last, takes that title. That's her SmackDown debut.
That'd be great.
Man.
Doesn't even drop the NXT belt.
Doesn't even drop it.
Nope.
And then at TakeOver, a fatal four-way for the vacant NXT Women's Championship. She never drops it.
No.
She never drops it. Nikki Cross.
They have to strip her of it.
Versus Ember Moon. Versus Billie Kay. Versus...
Liv Morgan?
Chris Hero.
Oh.
I was like, wait, but he's Cassie Sono, A.
Yeah.
He's a man, B.
Yeah.
Right.
Who else, though, other than Asuka?
Damo.
No, for the women's match.
Oh, right, Damo.
Eva Marie?
Yeah, I could totally see that happening.
What about some former...
Eva Marie, and it's going to be comical. So wait, is this going to be a gauntlet match?
I don't know.
Or a rumble?
They didn't announce what particular stipulation... Dan Bryan said,
Alexa Bliss doesn't strike me as
you're
somebody...
taking on everyone in the women's division. I don't know if they're going to have eight women in the ring at one time, or they're doing a gauntlet match, or they're doing a rumble.
Yeah, how's that
I don't
work?
Know.
I just figured that now it was just going to add like eight matches to WrestleMania's already packed schedule.
Maybe they'll do something like this. Well, they'll have four women start the match, mm-hmm. and then when one's pinned, they'll have another one come out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm just guessing here.
I mean, cool. It was a gauntlet match. Could you imagine, like, do you imagine the fucking credibility Alexa Bliss would?
Oh, I know.
Get
if she
fucking withstood a gauntlet match until Asuka.
I know.
Oh man, that'd
be
fantastic.
Great.
Ivan the Clock Cleaner. Ooh, Rodriguez. Wow. Ooh, hey, Candy. With that awful and disgusting booking at Fastlane and fans disappointed around the world, for some reason I want to read this like Regal. New Japan making even the opening matches look interesting with great in-ring performance. Guys like Jeff Cobb deadlifting people out of midair. WWE is definitely out of touch. Whoa, Regal, why are you saying that about the company paying
your
bills?
That's your employer.
Which brings me to my question. Do you see a large majority of smarks at WrestleMania booing matches like Goldberg and Brock or even hijack the show entirely in return? No. WrestleMania is way too big for anybody to hijack anything.
Yes.
That only happens in like smart territories.
But I will say that Roman Reigns is going to get booed out of the stadium.
I don't even know about that, man. You
if
know,
he wins,
still,
he will.
He's still a top. Oh, yeah. I don't know, man.
If he wins, he will.
It's going to be a crap match. Crap match plus Roman winning means people booing. But still, it's WrestleMania. He's a top five merch seller.
I know.
I don't know if people are going to boo that, dude. Rest Hold Wrestling. My friends and I are massive wrestling and trivia fans. I was wondering where you got the questions from trivia from.
Someone sent us cards from an old...
Not just someone.
Oh.
Patrick Sparks.
Oh, Patrick Sparks. That's right.
Yeah,
sorry,
Patrick
I forgot.
Sparks sent that to us.
cards from an old WWF trivia game. And we've just about used them all. So
Every week, behind the scenes.
We're sorting through the cards. Nope, Reddit.
We divvy up half Reddit. The cards because I'm not organizational. And like, so when I'm done with a card, I'm just like, pfft. So it just goes somewhere in my office.
Or it goes back to the bottom of that same pile.
Yeah, and I collect the pile. I split them up in half and we go, Reddit, 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 Reddit. Oh, wait, this might be, no, Reddit. Hold on. I think this one's good.
Yeah. I have a WWE trivia game at home that I keep meaning
like
to bring
months.
Over. For yeah, ever since the new year, pretty much.
For months.
Yeah, just remind me one Tuesday.
I will remind you. It. E. Evans, what do you think the Universal title match at Mania would have been had Finn never been injured?
I think the only thing...
Goldberg versus Lesnar.
Yeah, I think the only thing that might have made that match different is if Goldberg didn't... If he just came back for the one appearance of Survivor Series.
Yeah.
If he just said, okay, I want to have one match, and then I'm done, then the Universal title match probably been something else. But once he signed on for additional matches, that was going to be the match regardless who had the belt.
I wonder how much Goldberg in the end he's going to make off this.
Oh, I don't know.
Not over $5 million.
Probably not. A couple million, though. A
couple million, I'm thinking. Yeah. A couple million. You think Brock's going to make $5 million?
No.
No?
I would think he and Goldberg would probably make comparable money.
Probably. I think Brock probably makes a little bit more, though.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Especially him saying, yeah, I'll get murdered in the first match. We have some video questions, Larson.
We do.
We have a lot of video questions.
We do.
We're going to answer some video questions. The $20 Patreon mark, you can be one of these video questions adding questions. Roberto Alomar, a.k.a. Adam Mayhem of Fun Wrestling. You chose wrong, Roberto. Has a video question. Let's see what he has to say.
Yeah.
Hey, friendos. Adam Mayhem here. Should be at work. I am not. So I'm just sending video questions. That's what I do. So, Steven Larson, here's a question. You've both been tasked with mediating a three-way trade between New Japan Pro Wrestling, WWE, and Impact Wrestling. Now, here's the kicker. You can only trade the same amount of people between each company. It can be 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever, but it has to be the same amount of people. Everybody's up for grabs, but second kicker, all three companies have to benefit from the trade. So you cannot trade, you know, Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, and I don't know, L.I.J. for the same amount of people in Impact Wrestling, or like Apollo Crews, Kalisto, no. Everybody has to benefit. So everybody has to benefit, same amount of people between New Japan Pro Wrestling, WWE, and Impact Wrestling. Stay classy, my friends.
Thanks, Robert.
Thank you.
So a three-way trade between New Japan, Impact Wrestling, and WWE.
So same amount of people.
Has to benefit everybody. All right. So I want to trade Kenny Omega to the WWE from New Japan for Roman Reigns. And I think that would benefit both companies.
But you need to work Impact Wrestling into this deal too.
Impact sends cash to both companies. In exchange for. No, Impact.
No, I think Impact is the one that needs the cash.
Good point. In exchange for... No, okay, hold on a second. Then Impact would have to say... What? I forget how... wait a second. Then okay, so... God, I fucking forget how three-way trades work.
Every party has to give up something. Every party has to receive something.
Okay, so WWE sends Roman Reigns to New Japan.
Yes.
New Japan sends Kenny Omega to WWE. Impact gets Kushida in exchange for Damian Sandow goes to New Japan.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, that's fine. that's what you want
to
do.
I don't know. That's all confusing to me.
All right. Kenny goes to WWE. Kenny and Kenny and Bobby Lashley both end up at WWE.
Oh, wow. A boon for them.
Yeah. And then WWE will have to give up. Reigns to New Japan is very good. And then they have to give up... That's tough. Reigns to New Japan, and then Randy Orton to Impact.
Sure.
There you go. Yeah, fine.
Randy Orton to Impact. Alexander Crenti has a question, too. Let's see what Alexander has to say.
The self-appointed advocate for the world's greatest internet tag team, the Shit Twins. My question for you guys is around the Big Show. Fastlane was kind of a bad show, but we got to see the Big Show in probably one of his final matches. And the Big Show, throughout his damn near two-decade-long career, has been one of the most versatile performers we've seen. Face, heel, main eventer, jobber, everything in between. So my question for you guys is, where do you think the Big Show ranks among the giants in history, and who do you also think is the most undervalued superstar on the main roster today? Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you, Alexander. Good point about Big Show there.
Yes.
Definitely has had a long, storied, varied career.
Yes.
You know?
I think the two greatest giants in wrestling history are Andre.
Oh, yeah.
Easily. At least in terms of popular culture.
Yeah.
He may not have won the titles that other giants have, but in terms of... I mean, he was the most popular wrestler probably in the... 70s, like late 70s, him and early 80s.
It was like him and Muhammad
Worldwide,
Ali.
Yeah.
Were the two most recognizable names in the 70s, 80s, something like that.
And then The Undertaker.
Undertaker, yeah.
He's probably the most decorated giant in wrestling history.
Big Show's top five, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say Big Show. What's a third? Antonio Inoki? Could he be considered a giant?
Are you thinking of Giant Baba?
Giant Baba, yeah, that's right. Yeah, Giant Baba. I don't really know culturally like exactly how huge they were, though, or he was. But yeah, no, I'd say Big Show is top five easily. Maybe even hovering at number three. It's difficult because he's still going, and to get like true historical perspective, it's kind of difficult to say.
And I think partially, too, I know Alexander mentioned his versatility.
Mm-hmm.
Which is impressive, but he's been wrestling for so long and has been at virtually every place on the card that it's hard, you know, while we're still currently experiencing his career to really appreciate his legacy.
It's also kind of like the, who was it that got, there was, oh yeah, I'm all over the map here immediately, in baseball. I think somebody recently, like within the past 2 years, went to the Hall of Fame who had 20 years of consistent play. But none of those years were, like, magical.
That happens a lot.
Okay.
Like, Craig Biggio. He had 3,000 career hits.
Okay.
He was, you know, he's an all-star. Never won an MVP.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of baseball players that are just consistently will get you 175 hits a season.
Mm-hmm.
Do it for 20 years, you're in a 3,000 hit club, which is pretty much a guaranteed ticket to the Hall of Fame. There's a couple stats in baseball. 3,000 hits, 300 wins for a pitcher. 500 it used to be 500 home runs for a hitter, but after the steroid era, that's not the case anymore.
Yeah. Big Show kind of fits into that category, though.
Yeah.
In that, so Andre had magical moments because he was Andre.
Yes.
I don't know if Big Show ever had a magical moment. You know what I mean? Maybe when he debuted and beat Hogan. But, like, he never had a magical Big Show moment. You know what I mean? It was he was always... And it's funny because I remember JR, like, used to... I remember JR specifically said something along the lines of, well, he's never really lived up to the potential that he had. Kind of like, it's funny, but people say the same thing about Shaq, is that for as dominant as he was, could you imagine what happened if he actually showed up in shape?
I know.
You know, and like worked on his free throws and shit?
Yeah. Or
like how much more dominant he could have been, which is ridiculous to say, but probably kind of true too. Well, the Big Show, and I...
Well, for a spell, he was sent down to OVW or something.
Mm-hmm,
His attitude wasn't very good.
Yeah.
And then he was in ECW for a while.
Yeah. But he's always been one of the biggest draws.
Yeah.
You know, he's always been a consistently huge draw for the WWE, or at least a consistently big draw for the WWE. So, Yeah, I don't know. It's a WWE, even though we don't see him very often anymore, a WWE without the Big Show is going to be kind of odd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just feels like it's going to be odd.
Mm-hmm.
So, moving on.
There's a second part to his question, too.
Oh, there? Yeah. Some of the currently undervalued talents.
Undervalued talents.
You think Sami Zayn is undervalued?
I don't think he is yet, but another year.
Dude, he has to have a big 2017.
Exactly.
He has to have a big 2017.
Another year just kind of milling about in the mid-card.
Yeah.
Then maybe. It seems like, based on the WrestleMania poster, it seems like AJ Styles and Kevin Owens are undervalued.
I know.
Although I don't know how much stock to put
in that WrestleMania poster. Yeah, I know. I don't. They probably, I will almost guarantee that WrestleMania poster is literally like whoever, like the order of size and prominence is related to like merchandise sales or
probably,
something, or
maybe.
Something like maybe. That, you know? Let's see here. We also have Jordan Carter has a question. Let's see what Jordan has to say.
Hey, friendos, just a quick question for you guys about Roman versus Taker at WrestleMania. Why? I don't see anything that we gain from it. I don't know why there's not a better match for those guys. Let me know what you think.
Thank you, Jordan.
Thank you, Jordan. I don't know why they're having Taker versus Roman. Because Vince wants, I don't know, Roman to get some Taker magic.
Yeah, it was like a passing of the torch thing, wasn't it? Which doesn't make any sense.
Was that ever suggested?
I thought I read that somewhere.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
But if that's the case, then Finn Balor seemed like a hell of a lot more logical choice.
Yeah.
Since they both have kind of supernatural elements around their character.
Yeah, I know. Why Roman? I don't know. You're like, I don't have an answer for you.
Vince really thought it was a good idea. That's
Vince,
why.
Vince thought it was a good idea. I mean, shit. It's funny because even Meltzer in the Wrestling Observer, he was breaking down the matches. He says, regardless of whether or not it's going to happen storyline, he will be the biggest heel that night.
Yep.
Yeah.
Especially if he wins.
Oh, yeah. Which
it's a coin
win.
Flip right now.
You think it's a coin flip?
Right now it is. If it's this is Undertaker's last match. Undertaker's a pro.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll take the loss.
Yeah.
To put someone else over. But Roman's not going to benefit from this at all.
I know.
Unless they do a full heel turn, unless he can kind of springboard his top heel
mm-hmm.
from that win
mm-hmm.
and actually kind of, you know, get over with the crowd.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, you know, at this point, that's going to work.
It's a shit show. It's going to be a crap match. CJ Reebley has a question.
Hey, friend. No, CJ here. Aside from the obvious, who do you think did the best chokeslam? I was always a big fan of Psycho Sid's.
Thank you, CJ. Favorite chokeslam. You know what mine is? And I think it's just because people sell the shit out of it. Or I don't know what it is. I don't know what makes like a good chokeslam. Kane. People jump so fucking high for that dude. And I don't know why. I don't know if it's something he's doing. But man, when Kane does a chokeslam, people go high.
I always feel like it's the other way around. That Undertaker is
really?
The guy that gets people to jump for him. Because sometimes
man.
Kane does it and it looks like people are just kind of like trying to jump over a step
really?
Stool.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like people get high for Kane.
Yeah.
No good?
I mean, like it seems like a chokeslam is only as good as the person taking it will let it be.
Would you consider the Rock Bottom a chokeslam?
No.
No?
Because he more lifts him back as opposed to straight up.
Puts his thing right here. It's not a chokeslam. You're right about that. You're right.
Because Samoa Joe's finisher is kind of like that.
Who else has chokeslam?
Punisher Martinez.
Punishment Martinez.
Punishment Martinez.
I'm still confused.
Sid. Didn't 9-1-1 in ECW had a chokeslam, right? Or is it Primetime Brian Lee?
No, 9-1-1 did, yeah.
Didn't...
Although is Primetime it? Brian Lee was fake Undertaker, he's got one too.
It's true.
Sid WWF Chokeslam.
Who else?
I don't think I've seen a Sid
oh,
in a while.
Scott Hall's. Scott Hall.
Oh,
like
I love
a
yeah.
Little, a little short.
Yeah, I
short
know.
Arm Chokeslam. That was awesome.
Oh, hold on a second. Here's one from the video game.
Well, you can go buy a video game to look at Sid's wrestling prowess.
Even in the video game, it wasn't very impressive. Oh, God. Let's see here. Psycho Sid versus Triple H.
I will say that.
Look at him. He's going the wrong way. Sid, come back. The ring's over here. What are you doing, man? Come on. Isn't he supposed to be a heel? He's giving people fist bumps. God, I
that
love
just
Sid.
Just his thing.
Sid is so great.
Sid exists above heel face spectrum.
He does.
He's just Sid.
And above like promotions, if you think about it. How often was he on WWE, WCW?
Oh,
WWE?
He went back and forth like three or four times.
So many, like only Jeff Jarrett went back and forth more than Sid. Look at that. He's squashing Triple H. Oh, my God. Sid's a fucking monster.
He's huge.
Oh, here we go. No, come on. Get straight to the chokeslam, dude.
Did it say chokeslam in the title?
No, it just said Sid.
Oh, you might not see it then. You'll see a powerbomb for sure if he wins.
Look at Triple H selling like a champ. Oh, here we go. Here we go. We got a chokeslam. We got a chokeslam. Ah, did CJ say that's his favorite chokeslam since?
Yeah.
Oh, CJ, you're killing me, buddy.
Scott Hall.
Scott Hall's was horrible.
No, it wasn't.
No, yes, it was.
It was quick. No, he'd pick him up.
No, he wouldn't. There was no power there.
Oh, I don't know about that.
It was no
power. I'm going with Scott Hall.
Scott Hall, you're insane. Scott Hall does not have the best chokeslam. He's like lower three.
He's up there
with Sid.
Here's the thing about Scott Hall is it wasn't dependent on the effort of the person taking it. It looked the same regardless.
I know. It's horrible.
That's why, like Kane, like sometimes it'll be really good.
All right, let's watch this chokeslam. This is off Hell in a Cell. Remember this when Scott Hall chokeslammed?
It's also in a video game.
He chokeslammed Big Boss Man off of Hell in a Cell. Uh-oh, let's see if he does it. Come on, do it. Uh-oh, here we go. Oh, that was pretty devastating.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome.
Boss Man went through a table on the bottom. Anyways, Kane. Definitely Kane.
Scott Hall.
Thank you, CJ.
Thank you.
Carlos Hackworth, our favorite low-level WWE writer. Let's see what Carlos has to say.
My question for you guys, I have a storyline for you guys. You have an NXT superstar who is pretty dominant in NXT. You know, he wins just about all of his matches, and he demands main roster competition. But the thing is, WWE main roster doesn't have anybody who jobs. Or, you know, if it's a squash match, it's going to be a pretty difficult squash match. So I was thinking somebody like Roderick Strong, who could be an aggressive face in NXT. And he could go up to the main roster demanding main roster competition. And he always comes up a little bit short. And he goes back and forth between Raw and SmackDown trying to get that main roster competition to win. But each time he goes, he comes up a little bit short. Because the main roster is supposed to be the best in the world. So I feel like that nobody should be jobbing to anybody if you're supposed to be on the WWE main roster and it's the best in the world. So I just want to get your guys' opinion and how would you book that? I could see that being anywhere from a 4 to 6 month long storyline. Thanks, friendos. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Carlos.
Thanks, Carlos. Actually, he had asked this question in the comments of the last episode.
It's for the SmackDown one. Recap, yeah.
And like we had actually answered it, but like I botched the reading of the question, and so I cut it out. However, I really like the NXT storyline that he's proposing here.
Comparable. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Comparable to. I think they're typically called a quad A baseball player. They're too good for Triple A,
mm-hmm.
but not quite good enough for the major leagues.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is no quadruple A level of baseball. That's mm-hmm. kind of what they call those players that are just kind of too good for the minors, but not quite good enough for the majors.
It's like Jimmer Fredette in basketball.
Or Crash Davis from Bull Durham.
There you go.
And I think that's a really good idea to have. And I like his idea of Roderick Strong being that person, at least for a few months.
Oh, that'd be interesting, yeah.
Where he can dominate for the most part in NXT.
Yeah.
But on the main roster, just always comes up a little bit short.
Yeah.
Great match after great match, but just can't quite pick up a win, or at least win consistently.
It's kind of the natural progression of Ty Dillinger's storyline.
Yeah.
Because he's scratching his way to the top, and he keeps on getting these setbacks.
Yeah.
And then Sanity pees on his friend Roderick Strong.
Yeah. After he turns back into Bruce Banner.
After Big Damo tries on his shirt also.
Yeah, I remember that too.
So, no, I really like it. I just wonder if it would be they'd have to mitigate sort of the unintentional comedy of it.
Yeah.
It's like, man, what are you doing back here? Because like when you're back down in NXT, there's kind of a comedic aspect. It's like you got busted back down to NXT.
Yeah, no.
You couldn't hack it on main.
Yeah, I would think it couldn't be a full-time NXT call-up. Whoever it would be would have to be more or less moonlighting.
Mm-hmm.
Wrestling on both shows.
They would have to make it so that the matches were really good though.
Yeah.
Like the matches have to be really good. And then he comes back down to NXT. It'd have to be as if he's sort of moonlighting in NXT,
yes.
Kind of like Kevin Owens back and forth.
Yes.
So there would have to be that element to it. But I really like the idea. Patrick Sparks has a video question, too. Let's see what Patrick has to say.
Hey, friendos. Pat here. So with the recent developments on SmackDown Live on Tuesday, looks like we're getting a multi-woman match at Mania for the women's title for SmackDown Live. Which, I don't really mind. It's not how I would have booked it, but since we're getting it, I personally would like to see a gauntlet match. Because I think if booked properly, that could be a very fun match and make Alexa Bliss come off as even more of a cowardly heel, to say. And I think to have two fatal four ways for both women's matches is a little redundant. So, gauntlet match, got my vote. That being said, what are your favorite weird special match stipulations? You know, I like the gauntlet match. But I also like the bull rope match. Whenever JBL brought out a Texas bull rope match, it was always fun. That being said, what are your favorite match stipulations? And what are your favorite multi-man or women match stipulations? Thanks, Windows.
Thank you, Patrick.
I like that Patrick is in his car but not driving.
Yes.
He pulled over. So what's the Patrick Sparks storyline this week? He pulled over, perhaps?
Yeah, it was too cold that day to stand outside and do video questions, so he stayed in the car.
I like his little hoodie thing. What do you call those things? Well, I know it's a hoodie, but like it's, you know, it's the it's like the one, it's like what stoners use wear.
Ponchos?
Ponchos. I think it's a poncho, but isn't a poncho just like a hole in a blanket?
I think so.
I don't know. Anyways, thanks, Patrick.
Thank you.
Odd question. Favorite weird match stipulations?
Oh, last man standing.
Yeah, I like that one.
Or I quit matches.
I quit matches are good.
In the video game, I like last man standing matches.
Last man standing matches are great in the video
game. But I think in wrestling, real wrestling, I like I quit matches. Because sometimes a 10 count takes a little while.
Well, you remember there was the JBL Cena I quit match.
Yes,
where Cena was literally about to murder JBL. Yeah,
but they impale him with an exhaust pipe from a semi truck. Yeah, I think it's I quit match.
I quit match.
A lumberjack match. I do not like lumberjack matches. Do not.
I like what's so weird.
Because they all end up the same way.
It's so weird. All matches end up the same way. Somebody wins.
Literally, lumberjack matches. Like they're all the same.
All I quit matches end the same way. Somebody says I quit.
No, but there's different ways to go about doing it.
Good point.
Gauntlet matches are good too.
Oh, I love gauntlet matches.
Yeah.
Adam Fella has a question. Let's see what Adam has to say.
Hey, friendos. Your Stardew Valley champion, Adam Fella here, returning for another video question. Now, being from Chicago, I love CM Punk. And I'm really sad that he left the WWE the way he did. There are some dream matches there that I would like to see. Which leads to my question. If CM Punk didn't leave the way he did, and he came back to the WWE, what are some dream matches that you would love to see that we never got? For me, it'd be CM Punk versus Finn Balor. Thanks, friendos. Take care.
Thank you, Adam Fella.
Some of the CM Punk dream matches we never got to see.
Him main eventing WrestleMania against anybody.
CM Punk versus... Yeah, that's true. Yeah. CM Punk versus... Well, obviously AJ Styles. CM Punk versus Kevin Steen.
CM Punk versus Shinsuke Nakamura.
CM Punk versus Doc Gallows. Might have seen that back in the day, though. Now I think about it.
We might have seen him against Kevin Owens, too.
CM Punk versus Samoa Joe.
They wrestled in Ring of Honor.
Yeah, we never saw it in WWE.
No.
CM Punk versus El Generico.
Yeah.
CM Punk
versus... They might have wrestled in Ring of Honor, too. I don't know.
CM Punk versus the Drifter Elias Samson. Might have wrestled in Ring of Honor.
I think the only person that's dreamt of that match is Elias Samson.
No, me too, man.
Okay, and Steve.
I'm going to book that shit on NXT.
There you go. There's plenty.
There's a lot. Every good person... That's who it is. CM Punk versus Seth. Oh, actually, I think they did that.
They wrestled in NXT, yeah.
Nice.
CM Punk gets any good person.
They're all CM Punk versus any dream match guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stone Cold.
Oh, yeah, for sure. CM Punk versus Grimace, Michael Hayes. You don't like that? No good? Anyways. Wait, what's on now? ICW Fight Club numbers 027.
Oh, cool.
After we stop rolling, I'm going to talk to you about ICW.
Okay.
It made me laugh. Anyways, that's it for Dirt Sheet. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.